Alright, it is the afternoon of Sunday, June 18th. I have a new digital recorder, which I got to, so I can be able to record my audio journals anywhere I want, in the car, at work, wherever. Until this point in time, I've been pretty tied to my laptop, which has been okay. But it's kind of the pain in the butt if I want to go somewhere or I'm in the car and I have thoughts. So I got a little recorder. Never had one before. Part of the reason I got it was to continue to challenge myself to speak out verbally, which is not something I'm terribly comfortable with. I ended up getting this one in part because it has some voice dictation software. So now I can actually try writing this way. And if the software works correctly, it's actually upstairs right now analyzing my speech. I had to read a large portion of Alice in Wonderland for it, which took about 20 minutes, half hour. But hopefully that'll get it to recognize my voice well. And if it does that, that'll be pretty cool because I can have it to automatically translate whatever I give as an audio journal into my other journal automatically. And then both journals are consistent with one another. And when I actually started doing the idea of recording journals, I thought to myself, okay, I'll write my journal and then I will read that. But the thing is, typically when you write, whatever you write doesn't sound well when you read it out loud. It works better, I think, if you go the other way around. Well, we'll find out. We'll dictate this and change it into a written down format and see how it reads. So that's all a little experiment I'm engaged in life right now. May not seem terribly exciting, but you know, it's something I'm doing. And there's some other things I can do with this as well. One thing I found earlier is walk around and have it going. No one knows that you're recording. Whereas if you have a video camera, people are very aware of that. People will give you looks or act differently. With this, you can just get natural sound. There are definitely people that are in love with sound and do voice recordings and record all sorts of interesting sounds around them. In fact, most of the reason the sound effects for Star Wars were so successful is the guy that put those sound effects together just love going out and recording natural sounds in the real world. Like the sound of the Millennium Falcon was a World War II bomber plane, I think. The sound of the laser shots were, I think what he did, if you know those big wires that support telephone poles and stuff like that, you put a microphone up to that and hit it with a hammer. So it makes this like pew sound or something like that. It's a lot of natural sound. So I maybe do a little play like that. See what I can do with sound. And just put it here. Make little sound collages. I don't know. We'll see. Another reason I got it is I've always wanted to go to graveyards and such and see if I can get EVPs. For those of let me turn down the volume, but that's too loud. I've got headphones on while I'm doing this so I can hear my voice. EVP stands for Electromagnetic Voice Phenomena. The basic theory is that those who have passed are still around us. They're spirits and they're able to communicate via electronics and microphones and stuff like that. So if you talk to them, sometimes they'll be able to come through on a microphone, but you just have to analyze the tape really well. So goes the theory. I've heard many EVPs, most of them sound like poppycock to me, to be quite honest, but you know, we'll see. I'll play around with it maybe. Excuse me, go on some photography shoots again if I can find some new graveyards that I like. Maybe do that sometime in the summer. take their quarter and see if I can pick up anything. As some of you know, I do feel that I have some ability to talk with the deceased. Not really hold a conversation, I just pick up this a thought or a feeling every now and then. Not too often. I can usually tell who it is coming through and generally what they want, and very often it's they want to talk to someone else. It's funny. But they're picking up that I can pick up on them, so they ask me to pass it along. So I do that from time to time. And then the last reason to have it is just to challenge myself. This is not something that I feel terribly comfortably doing. I'm very self-conscious. I'm sitting here right now wondering, oh my god, the neighbors are all listening to me. But fortunately, this microphone is so damn sensitive that I can just sit here and I'm barely whispering. Just maybe a little bit over a whisper. I'm sure if people were next door trying to really listen, they could, but for the most part, has a really good quality. Very, very, very impressed. And when I was recording on my laptop, I was always getting a hiss or a buzz in the background. I don't know if it was the something electromagnetic coming over the wire from the headphones or what, but I didn't like that sound. The sound is much better. Allow me to listen to my voice and adjust it so I can speak in a more confident manner, and you know, hearing myself will give me the feedback to do that instantaneously. So anyway, what have I been thinking today? So I went to Washington Square Mall today. I woke up pretty late. I felt pretty good, and it was weird. I got in the shower this morning, having not even bathed yesterday because I was just feeling really depressed. And most days I feel pretty crappy in the shower. It's just kind of crappy time of day where I just try to clean off and get a good start. And I felt really good, and it was nice. And I don't know what was motivating that. But the really odd thing was I almost felt like I was having a super uber spiritual experience in the shower this morning. I felt like I was connected to God. I felt I understood how everything was put together. Didn't quite understand my place in it, but I had the sense that I was like the breath of God. I don't know how to explain that, only that that we all are. And that's just an amazing thing, to be connected to such a powerful force that, you know, has breathed everything into life. So I had that and a bunch of other realizations, and I think one of them was I want a voice recorder so I can record what I'm thinking, because now it's kind of gone. I mean, the sense of it's still there, but the specifics are gone. So yeah, I don't remember what else I was thinking. Got up, went for a walk, got home, went to the mall, picked up something to eat from McDonald's. I don't ever go there, really, anymore, but I felt, what the heck, I wanted some nuggets. Chicken nuggets. So I got some, came home, and sat down at the computer. Spent about 45 minutes to an hour writing. Been working on some writing lately, whether a journal or some other projects. Just trying to get my thoughts out to paper, both to myself and to specific people. It's just been a hard year, and I've been through a lot, and I'm trying to, I guess, have some sort of therapy through this. Because I suggested in my journal last night that I don't get that therapeutic feeling from talking to a therapist. It feels like I'm paying for a hooker. But being able to do it this way, both some private journals to the world, and letters to people I care about, I'm able to, as a friend of mine put it, work through things. And trying to remember her exact words, But yeah, it's basically to work through and digest your experience. And in some ways it's that, but in more ways for me, I think it's to share my experience, whether good or bad, and to have it for historical purposes, so I can look back at it in 10 years or 20 years and make sense of it in whatever new place I am. And I kind of wish I'd been able to do that 15, 20 years ago when I was really depressed for years and years and years, practically a decade of struggling with depression. It would just be nice to go back to a specific time or place and say, this is what was going on, and here the words coming right out of my mouth. Unfortunately, I have very few records from that time in my life. Some of them I've posted up on my journal. So, in fact, probably the most self-deprecating letter I've ever written is up there. I don't remember the date, but you can find it. And I need to find more, because I have lots of journals hanging around, and I was going to transfer them all to the web at some point. I think kind of an exercise of, you know, these are things I wrote to myself, what would people think, and what would I think and get out of it if I stuck it up there? I was thinking today, too, that it's a very difficult thing to do, because I feel, my perception is that when you share something of your past like that, people tend to place you in the box of your past, or at least a box of their perception of your past. And that can be a really difficult thing, because you want to have a relationship with others in the present. And if their perception of you is the past, then you can't really have a relationship in the present. You can try, but it doesn't work so great, because you're in that box of who they think you were. And for my part, I tend to share what happened in the past, or what I went through, or the choices that I made, to show people that I've changed, to demonstrate what I've learned, and to bring about hope in a lot of ways, and to say, look, things have been different, but I can change them, and a lot of times it's to say you can change them too. I'm just a strong believer in that when you share something, people can empathize with it and work with it, and they can make very similar realizations and use some of the skills you have. And I hope a lot that I've gone through when in sharing it, people don't have to go through the same thing. They can see a better way. But at the same time, I come to believe that we've all got to make our own mistakes, even if we understand what the result is going to be of our decisions. We a lot of times just need to make it on our own, to feel it, to experience it. I think that's part of the human condition. At the same time, it's a very sad thing. You watch people that you love making decisions that you may not think are good, or you may very well know are bad decisions, and you're aware of what the consequences of those will be long and short term, and you just stand back and have to watch it. But I think that's part of what unconditional love is, that ability to watch someone go through something they know is not exactly good for them, but just to accept them and support them anyway. Pretty tough. I think the trick is not taking it on yourself. And I'm a lot better at that than I used to be. In fact, that reminds me of one of the things I was thinking about today while I was driving around was, when I was in the shower this morning, I felt, I didn't feel like I was attached to things, and I was able to see the world more clearly because I wasn't feeling like attached. And it was a detachment from things that I find typically extremely important to me, and just fundamental, like, and most specifically ideas, like an idea that, I'm in love with a certain person, for instance, and I want a certain life with them. The idea that, you know, a lot of the ideas were like that. Or the idea, like I wrote yesterday, that there was cat vomit in a few places in my house that I haven't cleaned up yet. And I had written that I don't care. And I realized this morning it was not that I don't care per se, it was a kind of detachment, or not being attached to the idea that it was a bad thing. It was a gross thing. And then anybody can put their own judgment on it. And granted, I'm going to clean it up later today. Because on some level, we all agree that it's disgusting. It's not good if the cats want to eat it back up, which has been known to happen, but you can say that's gross for cats, but think about dogs. They eat their poop, so cats are pretty damn clean. So yeah, all that feeling of not being attached, and kind of like saying I don't care, the word detached has a lot of negative connotations. Someone that's detached, emotionally detached, you know, we look at it and say, ah, they're screwed up. But it's not that, it's more like a Buddhist sense of detachment, or not being attached to outcomes, not being attached to ideas of good or bad. And I hope I can practice that more over the next several weeks. The sense that nothing is good or bad. In fact, at work, that's something that I practice quite a bit, because I used to be, you know, I'd have an idea, I'd come to a meeting, and that idea was the one way, and it was the right way, and I had to do things that way, and I really pushed and pushed and pushed. It's very verbal. And in particular, there was one guy at work that I always had to gnash teeth with. And that was very, I get very stressed out about these confrontations that in large part I would bring. And frustrated by the fact that he didn't have to do much. And he just interrupt everybody and stomp on everybody, and finally people just give up and give in. And I hated that. Because it's like, we need to discuss this in a logical way and come to a conclusion that we can all agree on without just talking over people. But I, after a while, learned to work better with this person and not be so attached to my specific outcome, which I realized in a lot of ways was attached to my ego. And eventually, it's got to the point where I think it was a meeting on Friday I just walked in. It was a meeting that I called, and then I started out and introduced everything. Didn't get done with my introduction, which kind of frustrated me, so I was interrupted, but that's okay. And then I just let everybody go, and you know, I had a few questions during it, and I looked at both possibilities and said, okay, here's this one, and here's how we do that, and here's that one, and I like this one, but here's how we do that, and, you know, which ones everybody decide on, and a decision was made, and tomorrow I get back to work, I will start to implement it. And I think one other way that I like the sense of detachment like that is I am not, tied to the fact that I need to do it my way, and I can go back to my desk and okay, well, here's what I need to do, and I can just do it, and I don't feel upset while I'm doing it. Not at all. I'm just kind of doing it, and it just ends up being another item on my task list. And then very often it's a question of how can I do it the best. Yeah. Sorry, I'm going inside for a second. I keep the cat from getting out. Because now I've been taking them out sometimes, and they like to sneak out or try. At least Cindy does. So yeah, that's been nice. And one thing my manager's been helping with me this year, and it's the first time I've had a real quote-unquote manager, is scheduling my work better. A lot of it you can't. I'd say at least half of it can't be scheduled. It just... you've got to take it by the seat of your pants. And I've been doing a lot of paperwork the last couple months, more than ever before, to be able to track and schedule and take notes and keep that between the manager and I. Let me sit down at the computer. It's asking me to do something. I'll do that when I get back. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. But with work now, I'm really enjoying fact that all these things, I'm not so attached to them, so I just make a list of things that I gotta do, and then I set time to do them. Whereas before, I spent years and years and years being someone that I had got thrown a lot of work at, people needed me for left and right, and I tended to get really stressed out.
kept notes, but most of the stuff was in my head. You don't have no idea how much stuff was in my head. Do this, 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 and I was multitasking like a crazy person. What, kitty, do you want to talk? Oh, I think the cats are hungry. So how about this? We'll listen to the sound of whining cats and to the sound of me pouring cat food. Will be happy in half an hour. They'll start whining at me again. Back outside, get some more fresh air. So, what was I saying? Yeah. So detachment, that's one of the spiritual... Whoa. Now I'm really making a mess. Hold on a second here. Grabbed up a thing of candy and I just shot it everywhere. Total mess. Let's see, got three pieces. Don't want lumps of sugar out here. It'll be very messy, so I'll end up tossing it here in a second. I don't know why I'm so worried about it. My deck needs to be power washed right now. That's one good reason I do recording, so you can't see it. Anyway, where was I? Detachment. Alright. Piece of candy in my mouth. It's gonna be a long recording. See, it's already 21 minutes. Yeah, I can't think of anything else that going through in the shower this morning. I was happy I ran out of shampoo and found out that I had more in the cupboard. Sometimes I get lazy like that and forget to look. I don't even know why. I guess that's it's a side effect of being very depressed. You kind of block your mind out to obvious things like check the cupboard for this. I always think you gotta go to the store and get more, and I forget to get it when I'm at the store. So this week, I expect work to be pretty normal. I'll be continuing to lower my Oxycontin down until I'm completely off. My plan is to be completely off by next weekend. That's going to be a little tough, but I think I hope what I can do is hold on to that spiritual feeling of being God's breath into the world. And when I say God, I don't think of God as a human being or the Christian beliefs that I grew up with. In a lot of ways, I respect and cherish those beliefs, and I've gone to church every now and then since, but I almost feel like religion is kind of the kindergarten for the soul. That you go there and you experience God in a way that we would experience learning to read as a kindergartner. It's just very basic. Do the A, B's, and C's. Practice writing. Practice art. And then the same way, do a lot of reading of scriptures and singing together and group activities together. But I think there comes a point where your spirituality's got to become a great deal bigger. I like the word sense of having awe, and that's how I feel a lot. It's just a sense of complete awe with the universe and everything in it and everyone in it and all these things that we built. And I am indeed often overwhelmed by what we have accomplished as human beings over the last 10,000 or so years. It's just utterly amazing, and the diversity in our people and colors and traditions and history, technologies, is just absolutely mind-boggling. That's one reason I'm addicted to documentaries and history. I just love seeing things that have happened in the world, what people's interests are, learning facts about things, learning where we came from, what our history is. I could never get enough of that. I think for the rest of my life I'll be completely addicted to histories. For the last so many years I've been really, really sucked into World War II documentaries, and I think a large part of that is that was the first period in time really where voice recording and video recording had become very commonplace. So you can look back, what's that now, 50, 65, 70 years, you can look back and see what was going on. You can look at people that look my age and now they're all dead. Most of them are gone. And you see what was happening in the world and put yourself in that place that you don't know what the world's going to be like. For all they knew, today the world could be controlled by Nazis and our life would be very much different. That it would, we'd have institutionalized racism, we would have very likely slaves, of minority groups instead of those groups just being part of the culture and an active and beautiful, wonderful part of our culture. So yeah, the world would just be a highly, highly different place. It is sad though when I think about America, because a lot of the energy that we have, a lot of our, you know, looking at the who we are as a people from an empathic standpoint, I can go back to the energy of the Nazis, the Germans in general during World War II and just before, and we have incorporated a lot of that into our culture, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that after that war we took a lot of their skilled people, such as their mathematicians and weapons makers. We brought them here and we started making large weapons to quote-unquote defend ourselves in the Cold War. And it was very much that we were taking that same kind of paranoid energy of being the strongest power in the world. And if you look at our military now, we don't really rely on the fact that we have a big army, we rely on the fact that we have the best technology. So instead of having 1,000 jets that are good, we have 100 jets that are awesome. And that was very similar to the Nazi strategy during World War II. They, like, for instance, had panzer tanks, which were far superior to ours. But for every panzer, we had 10 Sherman tanks. So that's a mindset that we've changed. We don't have as much. Now we have less, and it's a lot better. And we expect that to make us win. There are quite a few things, if you look through our culture, that have changed to be more like the mentalities they had. But fortunately, we've kept a lot of, you know, our laid-backness, our American initiative. I don't know why I'm rambling about this, to be quite honest. Just one of those things that I think. You know, another thing I've been thinking about doing with this, or with recordings, is, you know, when you get DVDs, you can watch the director's commentary, or whoever's. I was thinking about doing this. I couldn't do that legally, recording it and having the movie, but I'll bet I could legally just record my commentary while I'm watching it. Not have the sound, of course, of the movie, so you could hear it, so I'd be doing it on headphones, something like that. And then you could download it, and if you have that movie, you could sync it up, so you're watching my commentary at the same time as the movie. I thought that would be kind of cool. Because when I watch a movie, I rarely just kind of sit back and blank out and feel the whole movie. I really get into looking at the different qualities of the film, the editing, the voice recording, the music, everything. And I think one of the films that I was thinking about doing that with a series is taking all the old Star Trek films, the ones with William Shatner and the old crew, just one by one, recording all my thoughts on them, as much as I can when it goes through. Because every time I watch them, which I've seen each about 100 times, I have different thoughts. Some of them are thoughts about me, some are thoughts about how my experience has changed over the years. And I think that's one reason I like to keep watching them, is because, wow, this is a different experience than it was 10 years ago when I watched this, or when I watched Star Trek The Motion Picture, which, in my opinion, is the best of all the movies. A lot of people would absolutely disagree with me, but there are a lot of factors that I've been into looking at that, going, actually, wow, on an objective level, or a subjective level, sorry, a subjective level, you watch it and it might not be that great. It doesn't get you as engaged. Some of it seems kooky, crazy, and silly, but then quite a bit of it seems absolutely spot on. And so I'd like to do that. Maybe I'll do that later this afternoon. Go work on the computer for a bit and then just lay in bed and do a commentary on a movie. Post that up to my webpage and see what people think. Although I doubt any of you watch that film, but it'd just be something to do. And you can get an idea about how I watch film and how I'm engaged in it. Let's see, other things for the night. Oh god, I forgot. I need to really do laundry. I don't have any clean clothes for this week, so after I get done with this, I'm gonna go sit down and do the last few things on the computer to make it so it can analyze my voice. I don't know how well it's gonna be able to do that, but we'll see. I use voice recognition, I think it was IBM voice recognition software years back, and I think Microsoft bought that, incorporated into a speech recognition for their operating systems, but I've never used it again since back then. I remember having to learn all these different voice commands, and it was kind of handy, but I forgot what all the voice commands are, so I haven't felt impelled to do it again. In fact, it's one of the reasons I'm forcing myself to do stuff like this audio blog, because I want to give myself motivation, even if it's a superficial motivation, just to do something, do it. Okay, that's fine, I will. And that'll be great. So gotta do the clothes, because I don't want to go to work naked. I don't want to go to work smelling like I've been sweating in bed all weekend. But I've been cooler in bed. I've been sleeping with the cats. I just sleep with one blanket instead of the two or three, which is, I have to in the summer. It gets way too hot, but I love that I have air conditioning. God, I'm babbling. I'm almost curious. If you are listening to this, and you have listened to it for 33 minutes now, would you do me a favor? You're probably on the computer right now. Just send me an email saying, I listened. I'd just be curious to know how many people are actually listening to this now that I have the podcast up. The other thing I'd like to do to make it more interesting, besides just babbling, which I have this last couple times that I've done it, is make a schedule. So I do it on certain days every week. Let's say once on the weekend, maybe Tuesday and Thursday. Sit down for half an hour and make a podcast. And the other thing is have some content, because right now my content is whatever comes to my mind, and that's great. But I'd like to be more like Toastmasters, where I write a speech and I come and I give it. And it may be a very loose speech with just a couple notes, but it may be a very specific speech. I could practice saying it, standing up, sitting down, laying down, whatever. I think that's one thing I always felt comfortable about with the headset that I was wearing with the microphone. You can just kind of lay back, put your hands behind your head, and talk. And everything gets recorded, and it's just kind of a nice, relaxed experience. Downside of this recorder is I have to hold it in my hand. But I think I changed the setting on it so in the docking bay it can record my voice while I'm just sitting at the desk. We'll see if that's nice, because maybe I can sit there and type and do other things and talk at the same time. Or maybe I shouldn't do that multitasking. Maybe I should just concentrate on doing this. So, what do you think? The other thing is, well, what do I want my content to be? Do I want to just talk about my day in specifics? Do I want to talk about the experience of depression and social isolation and the fears and anxieties that I'm going through? Do I want to focus on how people are treating me or how my roaming reactions to that are? Do I want to focus on how people think and what they do and background of psychology? In fact, one of my favorite podcasts that I have is, I think it's called Psychology Talk, and it's just a psychologist or psychiatrist, and every episode he brings up a new subject and talks about it and talks about different studies and how people think and react to things. I think that's interesting. That's something I'd like to talk about. I think between that and spirituality are things I'd like to talk about, and maybe just my own spirituality, which I think happens to be in some ways very unique and different. Once I left Christianity, I kind of went out on my own limb and studying and researching my own thing and living my own way. But at the same time, it's very similar to what a lot of people doing, what a lot of people's experiences, especially during depression, and the journey that I'm taking. I guess the journey is probably the most positive way that I can refer to it. A lot of times it doesn't feel very positive at all. Today it's been feeling good, and I don't even know why I felt good this morning, or why that's continued forward. Because I can never really plan that. It just happens that I just feel really good and I can't figure out why. What can I do to have that same experience tomorrow? Lord knows, I'd love to wake up, feel good, take a shower, feel good. You know, have a relaxed drive to work, not a care in the world, get to work, just kind of sit there and focus. That's another thing I've been practicing in my life right now, is a lot of focus. And not multitasking focus like I used to have, but even if I do three things very close together, I'll try to do one and then the other and then the other. So I'm practicing having focus, having attention on one thing, and doing my best at the one thing. I wouldn't say that's hard. It just takes thoughtfulness. And if I sit and I'm thoughtful, I can do it just fine. Let's see, I'm at 37 minutes. This is going to be probably one of my longer podcasts, but that's okay. The thing is, I don't know how long I'll keep them on. I can't remember how much space I have on my website, if it's 1 gig or what. And I never really intended it to be a podcasting site. I mean, any multimedia content was just intended to be photography, but my voice is not something I've ever really liked or thought people would want to listen to, and I say a lot of ums and ands, and you're hearing that, and I hope in a year from now you listen and I don't have any of those, that I can talk and talk and talk, and there are very few breaks, very few ums, and that when I do have a pause, it's a pause for dramatic intent. So we'll see about that. You know, another cool thing about this microphone, if you're listening to it, put on some headphones, because you can actually listen to it in stereo, which is really cool. Yeah. So if there are two people talking in a room, I would actually put this with each microphone facing each person to an interview. And that's something I thought about doing. You know, if I had people that I thought were interesting, I could interview them about parts of their lives. If I had friends, I could say, oh, tell me about what it's like being a mother. Or not another guy that said, let's go to a strip club, and say, okay, tell me why that's something that you'd want to do, and what your experiences in strip clubs have been. Of course, I'd have to find people willing to talk about things like this, but, you know, I'm sure I can. Although I never really had an interest in being a journalist, I think it'd be kind of fun being kind of a journalist of my life and show that I really am interested in people and their thoughts and feelings. Although, you know, that's one thing I have to work on. Because I know a lot of the time when I'm close to someone, I end up talking about more of my stuff than I need to. And not devoting as much time to listening to other people. That's one reason that I enjoy working on the temple and think it's a good thing for me, because then a lot of it comes out there and I don't need to, you know, have as much of the spotlight when I'm with other people. Although, you know, in a lot of ways, for a lot of situations, I do let other people talk almost exclusively, which is good and bad, because sometimes I don't think I'm interested in them then too. Good example is this last week I got my haircut. And my preference when getting a haircut is just laying back in the chair and completely relaxing. I just prefer, you know, wash my hair and let me doze off. This is just so comfortable and relaxing. I'll go ahead and do it. Just touch and play with my head. I love having someone touch my head. And typically hairstylists will ask all the questions that they're used to. What do you do for a living? Where do you live? When did you move this area? Do you like the area? Stuff like that. What's your family like? And since I walk in not intending to have a conversation, I don't feel very social and conversational. I'm open to it, I just don't feel totally gaga into it. And then I fall into a mode of just answering all their questions, which happen to be about me, and then it seems like the whole conversation is about me, and empathically I pick up that the person is just, you know, they're not totally open up, they're just doing their job and making it relaxing to do and comfortable to be in such a kind of intimate position with someone that you don't know. And what I could really definitely learn to do better in situations like that is walk in and say, I'm going to have a conversation, but I'm also going to ask questions about this person. Because you are in that situation, and they'll probably feel more comfortable, relaxed, and even do a better job if I ask more questions about them. This is something that my ex-girlfriend, I thank her for, that she, just watching her, she had a real skill with asking people about their lives and being interested in them. And it's something I don't know if I'll ever be good at, but certainly having watched that for 2 years, I saw how useful it was and how beneficial it was and how well it worked. And I can jump into that mode from time to time, but it's certainly not automatic for me. A lot of times I have to consciously do it. A lot of times when I do it now, I'm surprised at myself afterwards. Like, wow, I can't believe I just did that. That's so not like me. But who I was is not who I am or who I'm going to be. Not by any stretch of the imagination. So, yeah, learning, growing. Try not to focus on how down I am at the same time. Taking a look at it because I have to. But it's hard. I got a letter the other day from someone saying, you know what? I can't see you anymore because you're down. And it makes me down. And I was thinking to myself, why do people do that? Because I need the exact opposite. If I'm down, you know, I don't need people to bring me up. I don't need people to make me happy. People don't need to. I don't have all these expectations. But the one I do have is that people stick and stay with me. Don't run off on me. Don't leave me. Because when that happens, you know, the old Pink Floyd thing of one more brick in the wall is absolutely true. That's all it is one more brick. And I think to myself, wow, that's not what I needed. That just makes things worse. Typically when people survive depressions, during depression, they affect the people they love in a very negative way. And it's hard for people that love them. In a lot of ways, because you have more arguments, more fights, more distance. Harder to connect. But the people that really come out well, I think, do have some people in their lives that just stay there, that don't run off, that don't say, okay, I'm done. I can only be around you in this very limited number of circumstances or in this very limited way. And, you know, that comes across as a huge judgment and a box that's put around you, and it's hard to get out of you know, you've already put yourself in a box with being sad, being down, being suicidal from time to time. And then when you have people putting boxes around you at the same time, it feels like being trapped. And it does feel like being a victim. The only thing you can do is work with what you have and try to see the beauty in life, come out the other side. And very often, unfortunately, at least in my experience, I always have to start out fresh. In the past, it's often mean a new job, starting with no friends and meeting new people. The hardest part about that is, by that point, I'm so trampled down and socially isolated that I don't really know how to interact with people anymore. I kind of get weird and eccentric around people. I'm kind of convinced I'm going to be one of those older men that just kind of weird, no one quite gets, and my conversation's very heady and bizarre. And I've already gotten there to some standpoint, and I look at myself and say, well, I've gotten to that point where, I look like a certain age, and people do buck me right away. They don't look at me as younger and having all these options. I'm just like this computer engineer and in a box, and I can pick it up right away when I see people. I think it very much limits the number of types of people that you can interact with, and ages. I find that people much younger than me don't show any interest in talking to me at all anymore. I wonder how, as I get older and older, that's gonna be more intense. When I get in my 40s, 50s, people are just gonna look at me like I'm down my life path, whatever. Don't know why I'm going on this tangent, and I'll get off of it. It's not very interesting. But yeah, I don't know when I'll have people in my life again, or have it normal. I had a friend going through Portland today from Eugene. She said they might drop by, but I haven't got a call or anything like that. I really doubt they're going to, even though it would mean the world to me to be able to see them. But that's happened a number of times where they've just gone through, and I don't even know why I want to know about it, because it's like, they're not coming, and I may or may not wait around for them. And this time I've been very detached. It's like, probably not. If they do, I'll enjoy them, and if they don't, life goes on as normal. Quiet house, except for cats. So, that makes it a bit difficult. But you can only do what you can do. So I'm back inside. House is kind of a mess, and I think to myself, maybe I should clean it, but it's 8 o'clock, so I got 4 or 5 hours. I slept a lot this weekend, so I won't be needing that much sleep tonight. I'll probably go to bed around 1 o'clock, and that's fine. And do some things on the computer here in a bit. And let's see if I can transcribe this into a journal entry. I probably can't, it's so long. A lot of background noise too, but we'll see. Fun to play, fun to experiment. Don't have as much fun with it as I used to when I was in my early 20s, but I'm trying to get back into that and have that more youthful mode of being. I have noticed my eyesight's gotten a lot worse. I have to wear my glasses now at the computer. That's okay. Getting old. All right, so I'm gonna wish you well, stop this recording, move it over to the computer, maybe listen to a bit of it, publish it to my website. Again, this is Sunday, June 14th, 2009. I hope you enjoyed this audio ramble, whoever you are. If you're a friend, I wish you well. I miss you. And just hope things are going good for you. All right, all my best. Azzle now.